libre de zunda libre gade shagada liba yagara de sate yagara baha eya barodo sate yagara de shagada he that was and is to come. You are the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. From age to age, from generation to generation, you are the same. From the rising of the sun till it's going down, your name alone is to be praised. Libayekadesha, one generation after another shall praise your work to another. Ligeru sekete agara brahatesa, libregeto. The government is on your shoulder, and to the increase of your reign, to the increase of your reign, to the increase of your authority, there is no end, there is no end, there is no end. For thine is the kingdom, for thine is the power, for thine is the glory, forever and ever. We praise you, we bless your holy name, we give thanks to your holy name. Libregateya, your name is forever, your name is excellent, your name is righteous, your name is holy, your name is Lord, your name is Lord, your name is Lord. Libregateya. Liborite carito, libregeteya. We praise your holy name. Oh, eya balagadesha, eya barosa taya, eya garadesha taya baha. Everlasting Father, we praise you, Lord. Those hands and call his name. Yes. There is only one you. Oh, yes, you. Bless your name this evening, and we thank you for the blessing and the gift of your precious presence. Thank you for the communications of the reality of your presence and the distributions of the gifts of your presence by your wonderful Holy Spirit. Sweet Lord, this is your home, this is your house, this is your resting place. This is your resting place. Arise in your strength and do your pleasure. Arise in your strength and perfect your purposes. Arise in your strength. And command your counsel. Yours is our pleasure. Yours is our delight. Command your pleasure in this house. That all things will conform to your will. All things, for all things are of you, and of you are we all in Christ Jesus. Of you are we standing with lifted hands. Of you, Lord, by your Spirit we call you Father. Of you do we worship. Of you are our voices heard. Even by the blood of sprinkling, we stand blameless, irreproachable before your precious side, holy, sanctified for your worship. Command your pleasure, for we are yours. Command your pleasure. Perfect your purposes. Leave no stone unturned, precious one. We give you all the glory. Thank you for the gift of life. Life as you have given your Son, as the Father has it in Himself. Life as He has imparted to our spirit. We live because He lives. Thank you. Thank you that as we share in the light of your truth, that there is a renewing of our minds, the enlightenment of the eyes of our understanding, that we will walk in the reality and the experience of this overflowing life. We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' precious and mighty name, we have prayed. And the church of our Lord Jesus Christ say a very big amen. Give the Lord a mighty, mighty, mighty clap offering of praise. Come on, bless the Lord. Come on, bless the Lord. Welcome everyone by your side to church. Make sure there is no stranger by your side today, that you get to know everyone by your side today. Lift your right hand and without apology, declare the praise of our God. Say, Jesus Christ is Lord. Of things in heaven, of things on earth, and of things beneath the earth. Hey, He's the Lord of all, and He is the Lord over all. Say, Jesus Christ is Lord, and He is my Lord. Give Him a mighty praise. Do you really mean that praise? Give Him a mighty praise. a mighty praise. Hallelujah. What we do is real. Praise the Lord. The day you make a decision to get serious with God, and you're determined in your heart that the joke is over, the hypocrisy is over, it starts with a decision, and then there is a determination. What follows is a discipline. You will be called by the Spirit to certain consecrations. You will notice that the Holy Spirit will begin to put you through the disciplines of grace. Certain consecrations, discipline, and you to dedications. You're dedicated to certain things. The day you make that choice, everything else changes. But so far as spiritual things, still seems like a joke. If it still look like a joke, so far as it is not yet real, so far as it's not yet real, what you just be picking are crumbs, because God is merciful to all, that even in our ignorance and even in our faithlessness, He's ever faithful. We are invited to a feast. There is a feast we are invited to. Graduate from the crumbs, the little, you know, I got that testimony. Oh, I got this open door. Oh, somebody now called me and blessed me. Oh, I prayed for this, and when I turned, these are crumbs. These are crumbs. There is a life. There is a higher life. And when you live in this life, I'm telling you, I'm not saying that in living this life, you're going to be walking in the air. No. The same way you're breathing naturally, the same way your feet are on the ground naturally, the same way you have emotions naturally, the same way you have conversations of your natural existence, experience, the same way. That's the same way. You'll be brought into a reality that while you're laughing, naturally laughing, you're just laughing, you're eating, I remember a particular day, I was walking in the office, and they brought this person to the office, and the person has lost his mind. Whether it was drugs or it was a demonic attack, I didn't know. But I've been so busy that period, and that particular day, my body needed to rest. I just needed to take a break. And so I asked for them to get me a little thing to refresh myself in the office so I can just take a break and rest. And it was that time, as I was getting to refresh myself, They brought, there was commotion on the altar, and I was hearing it, and they came to me, Pastor. Just like that. It wasn't as if I was doing Shakaru Isuprade Sundeli Braka, and I was having another feeling that was not the physical, that was not just that what you may call natural. But there was a prompting in my spirit. The devil no go give me work where God no give me. So I told them, I said, I feel tired. I said, take my shoe. I said, I can't stop my refreshment for God, for the devil, for what? I got to rest. Take my shoe. When you go, give it to the person to hold. And that's all. They took the shoe, went there, gave it to that person, and the person slumped, slept, woke up, whole. That's all. What's that? There was no extraordinary feeling. This life is not a natural life. So whatever you feel naturally doesn't stop it. I can be talking to you, and in that moment, I'm feeling dry. And that's just a natural feeling. Because you can have different kinds of feeling naturally. As someone in physical flesh. But in that moment, no matter how I feel, I'm still very conscious that the life within me is not natural. So that natural feeling doesn't define my ability in Christ. In that moment, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. There is a reality. Somebody shout reality. It's a life. Fanatism. We're not talking about religious extremism. We're not talking about people who get themselves into some kind of hysteria. Zone into the metaphysical. No. Those things are nonsense. So the person is walking like this. Oh, he closes his eyes. Ascend, travel. No. That's not what we're talking about. We are talking about a reality that manifests itself while you have natural experiences. That you can just walk into a place. And you were not walking in as if you're coming to pray. You were not asked to pray. No, it's your friend's house or family friends or relatives, and you've not seen yourself, and all of you are greeting. Hey, how are you? And somebody just holds your hands and starts shouting, and you know the devil inside that person can't stand and must go at that moment. And the person, I told you. Where someone carrying a charm, and you're just greeting everybody. How are you? Welcome. How are you? And the person, you're not. I buy. No, you just greet the person. Fire. What's that? And you didn't feel different. Nothing felt physically different. What's that reality? What's that reality? Oh, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 15. Oh. Verse 15, not verse 2. Start from verse 14, please. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a prayer. Every one of us, we are going to pray this prayer. How many of you want to leave out the reality, the power and the wonders of Zoe? How many of you? Are you sure? Are you sure? Now, I wanted to tell the person by your side, nothing just happens. So when you get serious with God, stop being lazy spiritually. You will see the glory of God. And you know, when you see the glory of God, you become what you behold. You're transformed to the image of what you're beholding. And it's from one degree to another. As it intensifies you, it intensifies upon you. And when that glory begins to radiate, you become a wonder. The psalmist said, "You have made me a wonder. You have made me a wonder." You become a wonder. I'm going to give you some prayers we are going to be praying throughout this year. Your prayer is going to change. Your prayer points are going to change. I'm going to give you some prayers you will pray throughout this year. From now to the end of this year. And while you're praying these prayers, endeavor. You see, on the foundation of grace, when you're standing on the grounds of grace, there are things that are necessary to build on that foundation. One is to make a decision. You decide what quality of life you want to have, what kind of person you're going to be, what level of impact you're going to make. You make a decision. The second is determination. You determine in your heart that there will be no alternative. That there will be no substitute for your decision. That you will never cut down on your dreams. You're not going to downsize your dreams. You're not going to modify your dreams. You believe that it is possible for you to live the life that you have seen in the scriptures. And then you determine in your heart. You determine. There must be a determination. And then number three is you begin to subscribe to the disciplines of the Spirit. Because the moment there is a decision and the moment there is a determination in your heart, once your heart has determined it, you have given the Holy Spirit what to work with. He will now begin to lead you through certain levels of consecrations. He will begin to bring you into certain levels of discipline, and you have to submit and subscribe to it. A person who is competing for a prize doesn't live recklessly or anyhow. A person who is competing for a prize restrains himself and subjects himself to certain disciplines. So, since you know you want to have an extraordinary life, you don't want to end like everybody else.
You don't want to be counted among the masses. You want to be outstanding. You want your light to be shining distinctively. You want that. You want to live a significant life. You want to be a wonder according to the provisions of grace. This is our glorious inheritance. It's not just like you're being lustful or being selfishly ambitious. The word of God shows you what you're desiring. God has said these things concerning us. And this is your decision and is your determination. The Spirit of the Lord will bring you into that discipline. You must subscribe to it. You subject your body. You subject your appetites. You subject your feelings. You subject certain things and bring it under control. Self-control. So when you start noticing that the Spirit of the Lord has started laying demands and moving you and shifting you into higher levels of discipline, it means you have entered the training for reigning. Start rejoicing. Something is about to happen. Once you start noticing the demands of the Spirit, that there is a demand to live a more disciplined life, a life of order, divine order. Not living anyhow, not doing things just the way you want it, how you feel. It means you've entered a training for reigning. There is a throne already prepared that you are about to occupy. And then the last but not the least is a dedication. Because when you begin to go through these kinds of discipline, the devil will notice. And he will come with his temptations. He will come with his distractions. He will start offering you alternatives. He will start offering you things that are more comfortable and convenient. He will start offering you. In that level and in that realm, you love all men, you honor all men, but you don't relate with all men. In those moments, you must be discerning. Not everybody is permitted into your space. You don't go everywhere and you don't answer and respond to every invitation. In those moments, God is up to something. I want you to tell 2-3 people by your side, say, God is up to something. Wave your hands if you're in church. Say, I'm here. Come on, say, I'm here. Somebody say, dedication. Come on, say, dedication. You stay at it. Because what brings lasting change takes a little more time. It takes time. It doesn't happen as hit and run. It doesn't happen as just an event. It's a process. So you stay at it. You stay dedicated until it's not just what you're doing for a season, until it becomes a habit, a character, a second nature. It becomes who you are. See, the goal is not that God is getting us to do something so we can get something. The goal is that God is bringing us into a web of transformation. By the time we are through with that process, you come out another man. It's a becoming, not to get something, to become. To become. A becoming. All of you that hear my voice, raise your hands. My sheep know me, they follow me, they hear my voice. All of you that follow me and you listen to the instructions of the Spirit through me, raise your hands. The prayers I'm going to be giving you, make that the focus of your prayer throughout this year. And then endeavor, discipline yourself to pray at least 1 hour with the Spirit in unknown tongues. You know, you can speak in tongues doing some other things. Work it. No, this one is you put off the phone. You put off the laptops. You put off everything else. You put yourself, it's like you're in a secret place, your closet, where there is no distraction. And you pray uninterruptedly for 1 hour, at least. You can do beyond 1 hour, but keep that discipline. If any day you notice you were feeling distracted and you start playing worship song, but stay there. There is a discipline to this. There is a discipline. Hear me. The level of grace that is about to manifest in this house, the level of grace that is about to manifest in your life, in your homes, in all that you do, the level of grace demands a level of consistency. So, there are certain levels you're playing at, and that increase of, you know, start to 1 hour. No, this level, you know the grace of God is available. So, there is no confusion about that. You know this is a spiritual instruction. You know this is what God is saying in the season. And you lay demand on that grace. You discipline your body. You discipline your mind. You command yourself. You sit down here and pray. If you die, you die, but pray. You don't have conversations of, you know, God is merciful. Even if I don't pray for, no, you've gone that level. You've gone past that level. I'm going to pray. And you stay on those scriptures and you pray for at least 1 hour every day. At least. The Spirit of the Lord will take you further, but at least you do not in any way. You do not. In any way have or entertain any conversation that justifies you're not being dedicated to this. You do not. You do not accept any limitation. You do not accept any lie of the devil. You tell yourself, I'm subscribing to the disciplines of the Spirit. I'm submitting to the demands of grace on my life. Something is about to shift. There are about two people that got it. Something is about to shift. I said something is about to shift. I said something is about to shift. I say it's shifting in the name of Jesus. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15. From whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Verse 16. Now, join me as we read this prayer. This is a prayer. This is the first prayer we are going to be praying. That the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ will grant us, according to the riches of his glory, to be what? Strengthened what? With what? Through his Spirit in the inner man. You know, we've been praying Ephesians chapter 1. I'll give you that one later. For those of you who are coming, for the first time. I've given that first. Now we are moving to this. To be strengthened with might. You know the word might there? In the Greek is dunamis. Dunamis is the miracle working power. That's that power of God that raised Jesus from the dead. To be strengthened with dunamis through his spirit in the inner man. The spirit man. Verse 17. Want to go? One more time. That Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith or by faith. You know what? That Christ, the anointed one and his anointing, may dwell in our hearts, not by experience, not by feelings, not by sight, not by sensory perception. So somebody said, oh, I believe that Jesus is Lord because he experienced Jesus and got healed. People experienced the power of God in Israel while they were slaves in Egypt, camping in Goshen. They saw the terrible acts of God in judgment against Egypt. They saw the might of God. They saw. And yet, when they were faced with the Red Sea, they couldn't believe anymore. Experiencing Jesus is not enough. There are people who do not believe today that have experienced miracles before. You didn't hear what I said. These guys saw the Red Sea part into two. These guys, not in a dream, they walked on dry ground and saw God cover the chariots and the horses of Israel and their soldiers and buried them in the Red Sea. And yet, when they needed food, the God who did that. Many people who criticized Jesus and many people who cried for him to be crucified were those who also saw his miracles. You can talk of even outsiders. What about the disciples who traveled with him everywhere he went? Even Thomas said, until I see him and touch his hands, I cannot believe. What are you praying? Father, bring me to the reality, into the reality of Christ beyond the senses. I want to know him spirit to spirit. There are things I may not explain, but I know and I believe. That I may know him. But by faith. Faith. Substance of what is hoped for. Evidence of what is seen. Or if what is not seen, sorry. Of the unseen. Do something spiritual within my heart that nothing natural can ever delude me. Can ever deceive me. Can ever distract me. Do something in my heart that nothing in the natural. There are people that if their finances, Start going one kind, the way we say it in Nigeria. Once something starts moving in their finances, they feel like there is something wrong. God has abandoned them. You see, their faith is in the natural. There are people that their faith in Christ and their prayer life is tied to things happening naturally well for them. If they go through trials, their faith shakes. And what they believe, what's going on is that Christ has not started dwelling in their hearts by what? By faith. You stay there. Have you seen people that said, I don't believe anymore. I got angry with God because I prayed to save my father. Prayed, I fasted, I did everything. The father died. And he said, there is no way I'm angry with God. And yet, there were these three lads. They looked at the king who gave an order that they should bow unless they'll be thrown into a fiery furnace. And they say, oh king, I want you to know, the God we serve will deliver us from your hands. But in case our death will serve another purpose, in case in his eternal purpose, he wants to use our death as a testimony, know it, we will not bow. When faith goes beyond the natural, that Christ will dwell, there are a whole lot of things and a whole lot of people going to churches today. I'm telling you the truth. I'm a pastor. Have superficial faith, transactional faith. They've not been brought into the reality of Christ yet. They don't even know who Christ is. They just know him as the miracle worker. I need a miracle. They know him as a savior, my redeemer, my deliverer. Whenever. So they tie God to whatever they just need. Yes, he is that. But he's much more than that. Dwell in our hearts through faith, that you and I, being rooted and grounded in love, verse 18, hold your neighbor, want to go, may be able to comprehend with what? With all the saints, what is the width and length and depth and height. You know what is talking love? Being grounded and is not human love, is love that God has for us. When we are perfected, when your heart is unshakable, you know it beyond any iota of doubt, any shade of doubt, any shadow of doubt. You know it that God loves me. You know it. And nothing, not the past, not the present, not the future. Nothing. Not your faults, not your flaws, not your strengths. Nothing separates you from this love. Not praises of men, not criticisms of men. Nothing separates you from this love. Your heart is fixed. Once you're perfected by love and in love, once you're perfected in love, you cease from all fears. All fears are gone. No fear, God is against me. God will judge against me. Maybe God is working against me. Being rooted, when you are rooted, there is no longer a tossing to and what? May be able to comprehend a full discernment depth of insight, gaining depth of insight with all the sense. What is the width and length and depth and height? Verse 19. Read with me. Want to go? Someone say it louder. Which word? Somebody so, to know something that surpasses knowledge. To know something that is beyond knowledge. To know something bigger than knowledge. So find it. When I finish with the seven dimensions of overflowing fullness, this is the seventh one. This is the perfection of it all. That you may be filled with the fullness of God. May be filled. It's a life. I say it's a life. I say it's a life. I say it's a life. Every imperfect humanity that has been trying to show itself in your life under the sound of my voice bows to the perfections of the divinity of whom you are partaker, of whom you are a shareholder, of whom you are a partner with. Say that I may be filled. Say that I may be filled. Say my I may be filled with the fullness of God. Can you be a fool of God and be confused? Now this is a prayer. Ask and you will receive. They have not because they ask not. If you don't pray this prayer, you won't experience it in this life. You'll get to heaven. You'll be received in the bosom of Christ. You'll be received by the Lord. But you would have just traveled through hell on earth before getting to heaven. Why? What God promised is heaven on earth. If you're lazy, anywhere there is lazy, there is failure. Anywhere there is lazy, there is laziness, there is scarcity. Anywhere there is laziness, there is poverty. So if you're lazy spiritually, you won't experience this. But go and take this kind of scripture and pray. If you're the kind of person that you didn't come from a kind of generation that was raised with King James. Those of us who were raised with King James version of the Bible, New King James is a simpler English. So we understand it fully. You can go for translations like New Living Translations. Those ones that have, you know, simpler English. And then you read it in this translation, you read it in another translation, but you won't understand it through your intellect. You will only understand it as is revealed in the spirit. It's a revelation. So you stay and pray with your spirit. How be it in the spirit, he uttereth mysteries. You do it long enough. Somebody shout dedication. Dedication. Shout it again. Say dedication. Dedication. Shout it louder. Say dedication. Dedication. Shout it louder. Say dedication. Dedication. You stay there. And after a while. So that's where we minister from. That's where I could have the boldness of faith to say, take my shoe. Because I know that everything about me is immersed in divinity. I know it. It is when you finish praying this prayer, you will now see verse 20. So, have you written it down? Ephesians chapter 3, verse what? Verse what? 14 to what? 19. You will now see verse 20. Now read. One to go. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Verse 21. Lift your hands. One to go. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Shout your loudest amen.
Amen.
The other prayer I want us to be praying is in chapter 1. Go to verse 15, chapter 1.
You, Lord, are my heart, desire, and I long to worship you.
I love to worship you.
You, O Lord, at my heart, desire, and I love to worship you.
Ahead of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all things. Apostle Paul is praying. Verse 16. Join me. Want to go. Do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now, this is what we call New Testament prayers for new creations in Christ. New Testament prayers for new creations in Christ. You want to get into the depths, you want to get into the depths of the unsearchable riches of Christ, of his mysteries. This is it. Our fathers in the faith call it Pauline prayers. But it's not only in the epistles of Apostle Paul to the church you find them, but many of them are in the epistles. So they are beyond Pauline prayers. Pauline prayers are just the ones, and there are ones you can see in, you know, the letters of Peter and other places. But these are new creation prayers. When you pray this kind of prayers, You can't pray amiss. You're praying the exact mind of the Spirit for the new creation in Christ. All this sense of lack, all this sense of deprivation, when it's in the content. When you hear the prayers of certain people, you'll see it. When you pray that I may be filled with the fullness of God, after a while, that's where you can walk around and say, all things are mine. Something changes in your mindset. The overflowing life mindset comes. There is a consciousness of the reality of another life. a different kind of life, a higher life that is not natural. Do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. What's the content of that prayer? Verse 17, and let us read. One to go. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of what? Wisdom and what? Give me the NIV of that. So you see it a little more. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation so that you may know him. So it is not a one-time prayer. He is Omama Masia Masi. The more you know him, the more you need to know more. The more you know him, the more you need to know more. Unsearchable riches of his mystery. He is past finding. For all of eternity, we will still be in the wonder of who God is. So it's a prayer you pray daily. It's a prayer you pray weekly, for all seasons and at all times. There's never a time you get to the place of knowledge that you will not sense a need to know him more. That I may know you. That's the man that God gave a revelation of the church. Gave a revelation of salvation and justification by faith through the operations of grace. The man God gave certain wisdom that even his co-apostle Peter said there are certain things he writes that until he's revealed, you can't understand. Even his own apostles. Everybody respected the depths of revelation, the mysteries that was stewarded to this man. That's the man that is still crying, that I may know you. That I may know the power of your resurrection. That's why I love that song our sister wrote. The more I know you, is the more I want to know you, Jesus. So that more of you is not more of your spirit. No, the Holy Spirit doesn't come in measures. It's more of your knowledge. Knowledge, knowing you. He comes in his fullness. But he now has to reveal himself in degrees. So when I got married to my wonderful wife, the Father didn't give me a portion of her and kept back another portion. That if I cry more, they will release a little. No, I collected all of her. But year after year, the more I know her, sometimes I say, I know you now. She just smile. What she's trying to say, there are certain things. Just be coming. Just be. But I already have all of her. But I'm growing in knowledge. So the Holy Spirit doesn't come in portion. He doesn't give us himself 30%. Then later, no. He dwells in us in his fullness. All of God is in me. Oh, I have love songs here. I say, all of God is in me. Say, Christ in me. Say, the fullness of God dwells in me. I am complete in Christ. So that's the overflowing life mindset. No lack. It's a no lack mindset. I'm not lacking it. But what I now need is more revelation of Him who lives in me, to know Him, in studying at His feet, in listening to Him to talk to me about Himself, to reveal Himself to me, in the fellowship of the Spirit, in that koinonia, that communication and friendship of the Spirit, that I may know Him better. Somebody say, that I may know Him better. So after I pray it today and I gain a level of that knowledge, tomorrow I pray it what? Again. Again. Next tomorrow I pray it what? Again. Because I'll keep growing in the knowledge of who He is until I see Him face to face and I know as I am known. Verse 18. Stand on your feet. Hold that neighbor. Get back to verse 17 again. We are going to read verse 17 together. Lift your hands as we pray. Say, Father of glory, the God of my Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that you may grant me the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of you, that I may know you better with clarity, with conviction, that Christ dwells in my heart by faith, that I'll be brought into the fellowship of the reality of your divinity, and I, as a partaker of that divine nature, that I'd be brought into the revelations of the abundant life, the overflowing life, Christ in me. Lord, I pray that you grant me the spirit of wisdom and revelation, because I can't know you by my senses. I can't know you by the intellect. I can't know you by natural observation or human logic. Father, in the name of Jesus, today my heart is open. You see how we pray the prayer? Look at verse 18. We have still praying. Want to go? That the eyes of my understanding, being what? That being, is it present continuous? So it's not a one-time thing. Being what? A translation says flooded with light. The entrance of your word gives light and grants understanding to the simple. So what it means is grant entrance to your word in my heart. You know what a songwriter says? Shine your light, Jehovah, shine your light into my soul. Now, where is the light coming from? From within my spirit. It's not coming from the sky. Christ in me. He is the light of life. He's the light that lights up every man. He's inside me. He dwells in my spirit. So when I say shine your light, that light is within my spirit. It begins to find expression. Somebody say overflow. Say that they may have life abundantly to the full till it overflows. If that life is trapped only in your spirit, you will have Christ, and yet in your mentality, you'll be acting like an unbeliever. In your mentality, you'll be acting like a sick person. In your mentality, you'll be acting like someone who is lacking. But the life, so when that thing overflows from within your spirit, it flows, it begins to enlighten your mind. So your understanding is enlightened. There are people who have Christ. They have received Christ. The life of Christ is within them. But when you hear them talk, they are still saying, I don't know what is wrong with me. Why? The eyes of their understanding has not been enlightened. The day the eyes of our understanding is enlightened, you will know, I am his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus. Did you hear what I just said? And his works are excellent. I'm excellent. His works are perfect. I'm perfect. I didn't say all my speech is perfect. I didn't say my behaviors are perfect. I say I am perfect. I'm excellent. In all things, I'm excellent. I'm a partaker of the divine nature. The life in me is an excellent life. It's a life of glory. I live a life of glory. Why am I talking that way? The eyes of my understanding being enlightened. Nothing is wrong with me. Everything is good about me. All things work together for my good. And listen, I'm not trying to say it so it will now become. I'm reporting exactly what it is. I'm giving it an affirmation of who I am. I know who I am in Christ. It's a mindset. It's a mindset. It's a mindset. I'm no ordinary man. I'm not a mere man. The problem is this, my depression used to come and go. Your depression. How much did you buy it? Show me the receipt. Who sold it to you? Your depression. This your disease. Your disease. Pastor, that message you preached to, that message, it touched me. My life changed. It's just that there is just one problem. I don't know. Anything I've been doing, nothing is working. Light has not yet. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. Pray that prayer with me. That the eyes of my understanding being enlightened, being flooded with light, said that I may know the hope of your calling, Father. What's that? Purpose. Wherever there is abuse, purpose is not known. Wherever there is recklessness, men cast off restraint, there is no revelation of God's eternal purpose. That's what's lacking. I know who I am in Christ. I know why I was called into Christ. I know why I'm existing. I know the purpose for which I am called. I know what I must do. What is written of me in the volume of the books. Behold, here I am to do your will. My life is a manifestation of prophecies that have been said before I came. Before I was formed in my mother's womb, he foreknew me. He predestined me, anointed me. I came into the kingdom for such a time as this. I'm a man born in due season, called of God, anointed of God. Kai, I'm not a mistake. You see, the way I'm talking is because I started praying this prayer at the age of 17. That's how I was raised. I never prayed, God give me money. No, we didn't pray that way. When we came to Christ, one of the greatest graces I enjoyed was the grace of having sound teachers of the scriptures. God, kill our enemies. The Bible says, when Solomon said, give me an understanding and a wise heart, the Bible said the speech pleased the Lord. You didn't ask me for money. You didn't ask me for long life. You didn't ask me for the life of your enemies. That speech is still pleasing the Lord today. People that will pray higher levels of prayers, not the mundane things of this earth. Set your affection on things above. If my wife's ambition is to get the most that she can get from me, she will end up getting the least of what she can get from me. Because after a while, I start feeling used. After a while, I start feeling, am I your ATM? After a while, I start feeling. But if her ambition is to reach my heart and get my heart, you will notice that her focus will be how she can love me, how she can honor me, how she can be of value to me, so my love can comfort for her. And when a woman has your heart, she has everything else. You can tell when people are genuinely interested in you and when you are just interested in what you can do for them. And when you sense they are just interested in what you can do for them, it's distasteful. In the love of Christ, you can still continue to love them, but they can never have the best of you. It's like that with God. God can tell when you're just interested in Him for what He can do for you. And it's in the content of your prayers. ninety percent, 99%, do for me, help me, breakthrough. What about that I may know the purpose? Because I want to live a life pleasing you, and there is no way I can please you if I'm malfunctioning. I don't want you to create me for A and I'm living my life for B. I want to be in the exact will of your purpose. Why did you call me to Christ? Why did you endow me with such grace? Why did you give me such talents? Why did you give me such passion for life? Why did you give me such zeal for success? Why? What is your hope? What do you want to realize? Father, realize your claim on my life. Did you hear the prayer I prayed? I say, command your counsel. Command your counsel. Let everything about us align with your counsel. Thy will be done on earth. That's it. Pastor, it's just that I don't even know what God has called me to do. Pastor, I'm just confused. What am I supposed to? And people like that, so they just become church attenders. You want to be a man functioning in ministry? This is the prayer, that I may know what is the hope of your calling. Now lift your hands. Say that I may know what are the riches
of your glorious inheritance. In the sense, let me explain that, so that when you pray it, we pray with understanding. It means that when God brought us into Christ, He has an inheritance that He prepared, preordained. God, it's ready. What eye has not seen, what ear has not heard, what has not yet been imagined, entered the hearts of men, what God has prepared for those who love Him, those who are the called according to His purpose, those who love Him. What's this? So He prepared this inheritance. Was He said that I may know the wealth. What am I going to give you now is a weak illustration. Father A kept an inheritance for his children. Father B kept inheritance for his children. Father C kept an inheritance for his children. Father A kept an inheritance of $5 billion in assets and in cash. $5 billion worth of estate. Is that rich? That's rich. Is that rich? Is that glorious? That's glorious. But glory is in degrees. Father B kept an inheritance of $100 billion. Is that glory? Is that rich? Both of them are rich. Then this Father C kept an inheritance of $300 trillion. That's a weak illustration. Why? What God kept for us cannot be quantified with human estimation. It's immeasurable. What is it that He kept for us? All that He is and all that He has. He is holy. He has power. So you come to power, we have it. Come to holiness, we are it. He is righteous. Somebody say, all that He is. All that He has. But the question is, how much do you know? So He said, that I may know the riches. I don't want to have $300 trillion and be operating as a man who has $5 billion. That I may know the wealth of this glorious inheritance. This inheritance of glory that is mine. I'm a partaker of it. In the sense, in light, we are partakers. This inheritance. So when I say the wisdom of God is mine, do I know the wealth of God's wisdom? If you do, the wisdom of God will give you a happy home. The fight in your family will end. The wisdom of God will give you a thriving ministry. That ministerial and spiritual barrenness will end. The wealth. So you stay there. You begin to pray that I may know the riches. How wealthy. I don't want to be in the midst of an unending river, ceaseless fountain that can never dry up, and be using my own spit to wash my face. That if there is a right I have in Christ, a privilege I should enjoy, I want to know it so I can enjoy it here on earth. I don't want to have authority over all principality. I don't want to sit in the seat of the authority of the Lordship of Jesus, seated with Him in the heavenly places far above principality, and be running from a witch. And have a wizard terrorizing my family. And I'm running from pillar to post looking for who to help me. Because a man in honor and knoweth it not is like a beast that perishes.
I don't want to be a man in honor and be crying like the people of the world. I don't want to be a man that has so much but begged to so much because he didn't know he has so much. I don't want to be the one that will be spoken of, that princes walked while servants rode. I want to know what belongs to me in Christ. And I want to have access. I want to walk in the experiential knowledge of it. Walking knowledge of it. Walking revelational knowledge of it. Somebody said that I may know. Shout again that I may know. Shout louder that I may know. Shout it louder that I may know. What's the third thing? Verse 19. Lift your hands. Say that I may know. What is the exceeding greatness of your power towards me? At work in me. Who believe? Say, according to the working of your mighty power. Verse 20. Which you walked in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all principality, all power, all might, all dominion, and every name. That name means authority. Every authority, every title, every government that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Verse 22, read, one to go. And you put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things. To who? To who? Verse 23, highlight out. Which is his body? There. The church is there. The church is there. Who? And is in? And is in all. That I may know. He said that I may know the exceeding greatness of your power. Exceeding immeasurable power, unquantifiable power, which is at work in me. Which is at work in me. That power is at work in me. That power is exactly according in the measure. The power in us. That's what Apostle Paul was praying in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. That I may know the power of his resurrection. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that is at work in you and I. Every area of your body, of your mind, of your life that the enemy has ministered death, and death is walking at right now, today, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the resurrection of Jesus, it is quickened. It lives. Life swallows up death in victory. Say, life is at work in me. Say, every cell of my blood. Say, every bone of my structure. Every fiber of my being. From the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. Say, overflowing life. Overflowing life. It emanates from my spirit. It flows from within my spirit. That very life renews my mind. That very life enlightens my heart. That very life quickens my understanding. That very life strengthens my body. That very life makes me super intelligent. That very life. May
makes me wise in all affairs of life. I always know what to do. I'm never confused. I'm never stranded. I'm never disadvantaged. By the wisdom of God, I always know what to do. I speak the right words in the right season. I'm always in the right place at the right time, meeting the right people. By the wisdom of God, I'm rightly positioned in the name of Jesus. By the wisdom of God, I'm favored. By the wisdom of God, I'm promoted. By the wisdom of God, I'm strengthened. That life makes me wise. If you're feeling confused, the life is trapped. It needs to flow. It needs to flow. You are complete in Christ. Stop looking to the skies. Heaven dwells within you. We are complete in Christ. We are the perfection of His works, the fullness of Him who fills all and is in all. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So Ephesians chapter 1 verse 15 to what? 22. You go there, you pray, write it down. As a church, that's the prayers we're going to be praying throughout this year. Will we pray? Will we sprinkle other prayers on top? We're going to pray. That's when we're praying for the church. We're praying for ourselves. That's what we're going to pray. There is an intercession we have for the world, the lost. That's another kind of prayer. The advancement of God's kingdom into new territories. How many of you are ready? Are you sure you're ready? I'm going to step off the stage. And I want you to pray in the spirit. Now, you may not speak this prayer. I had to cram this prayer. If they remove this now, I pray it and I quote it word for word. I had to cram all those prayers. I crammed it so that I can pray it freely. You have to cram it first so you can now keep praying it. So you have to go back and cram those prayers and know it by heart. But now, while you're praying in tongues, there are sections of those prayers that will come to you because I've explained it. What's happening as we pray is that it's going to be a reprogramming of the softwares of your mind. There are things that can be thought, but there are things until they are revealed. Even though they were thought, something's going to shift on the inside. I said there is a shift happening. Overflowing life mindset. This is where it begins. This is where it begins. You stay on this prayer. So we are going to pray in the spirit, in tongues. And as you pray in tongues, any passion and any portion of this prayer that is quickened to your mind, you now pray. And you pray for a while. And I'm going to step out of the stage as we pray. Lift your two hands. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, receive a fresh baptism with the Holy Spirit and with power. Receive a fresh utterance of the Holy Spirit and a new spiritual language. There are many of you that have been gifted with speaking in tongues, but you are about to speak tongues you have never spoken before.
You are being ushered into new dimensions of the mysteries of the Spirit. The portals of the Spirit within you. Without limitations and without hindrance. There is a free flow in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray now with fire and with passion. Pray. Pray in the Spirit. And as you pray, pray Ephesians 1 and pray Ephesians 3. As the Spirit of the Lord brings it, pray. Libre de kunde, rabori de sunde libra, lehi parusa, ligeruse kalabaha. That you grant us the spirit of wisdom and of revelation, that we may know you more, we may know you better, we may know you clearer, we may know you deeper. Lirosa, reality, the reality, the excellence of the knowledge of God, of the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Libra de kushe, libra de shakata. Pray.
That we know the hope of your calling on our lives in Christ Jesus. That we know the riches, the wealth of your glorious inheritance in the sense and light. That we know the exceeding greatness of your power to us all who believe, O God.
Let me know. Just one passion, one purpose, to know you more and more.
Lift your hands.
When I know how.
Lift your
hands. Only you, it's you. It's you, nothing else will do for me.
Let him know,
only you, it's you, it's you. Oh, nothing else will do.
Lift your hands. Tell him one more time. Only you, Lord.
Only you. It's you. It's you. Nothing else. Nothing else will do for me.
Depths. We have left the shallow shores. We have left the crumbs. We have come to the feast. We have come to the feast. Depths. We have answered the call to the depths. To the depths, to the depths, to the depths. Lebragadonde kalabarahata. Lebragatonzi kaingalahata. That Christ dwell in our hearts by faith. That Christ dwell in our hearts by faith. Hold somebody by your side. We are going to be praying for new converts. Everyone God has brought into his kingdom, brought into his house through us, as we minister to them in the field, at work, even those that answered the altar call in church services, people that have come to know the Lord newly, in the name of Jesus, begin to pray, Father, that Christ dwell in their hearts by faith. We pray that you grant them the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of revelation, to know you in reality, communicate the excellence of the knowledge of your Son in their hearts, Lord, in the name of Jesus. That Christ dwell in their hearts by faith. Pray for new converts. That Christ dwell in their hearts. Pray for the people God has given to us, in ourselves, in our fellowships, in our departments, in our churches, everywhere we have been, in our offices, those we've ministered to, that Christ dwell in their hearts by faith. Lepo Shakata. Leru Zandeka. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Lift your hands and just begin to give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. We give you thanks. And we give you all the glory. Thank you for all that you're doing in this place today. We worship you. In Jesus' name. Thank you. The lateness is over.
we will not be late again. We will not be late again. The grace of on time is at work. Is the excellence of the Spirit. Thank you, Father. Give him all the glory.